I'm going to start with verse number 4, Jeremiah 44, verse 4. Not as book as easy to find as some of the books in the Bible. Some of you are still trying to find it. It's in the Old Testament. That's the only hint I'll give you. It's after Psalms and Proverbs. Verse 4, howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and my anger was poured out forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and the cities of Jerusalem, and they are washed and desolate. From there wasted and desolate as at this day. Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain. In that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither I ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Imagine that. They became a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. You realize how prophetic that is? What is the one nation in the world today that most nations hate? Israel. They are still the focus of hatred. They have been since this period until now. Verse 9, have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and of their own wickedness and the wickedness of your which ye have committed in the land of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled, even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and will cut off all Judah. Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture, even though it's kind of a negative, very sobering portion of Scripture. Father, we live in a very negative and destructive society and culture where evil is called good and good is called evil. And those that set themselves up to defend what is right become a prey unto those that are wicked. Father, help us to get our thinking straight, to get our priorities straight, to see things the way you see them. And most importantly, help us this morning to listen to the prophets and to Jeremiah as he preaches to us and teaches and tries to get our attention. Help us to have ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jeremiah was a prophet that existed before Israel went into captivity, through the captivity, and existed all to the other side when they came out of the captivity. So he saw a lot. He predicted the 70 years of captivity of Babylon. When he predicted 70 years of captivity, Israel had been in the promised land 835 years. Now you think about that for a minute. We as a country have only been here 235 years. Israel was in Israel up till this point for 838 years. You know, when you've been in that land that long and you've been pretty well off for that long, it's not going to be very pleasant or very likely that somebody's going to root you out of that land. You've been there for 838 years. But that's exactly what Jeremiah said was going to happen to the nation. He said, you're going to be rooted out of here and you're going to be displaced and you're going to become a curse and a byword to all the nations of the world. Why? Because Israel had more light than any other nation upon the face of the earth. They were a theocracy until they decided to have a king. And so it was a nation. To them were committed the oracles of God, the Word of God. Where do we get the Bible? It has 66 books and most of the books are in the Old Testament. Who wrote those? Jews. Who wrote most of the New Testament? Jews. God's people. Gentiles are God's people too. If you become a Christian, you trust Christ as your Savior. He was fulfillment. He was the Messiah. But anyway, Jeremiah prophesied at a time when Israel needed to hear the truth, but didn't want to hear the truth. And by the way, Jeremiah lived in times very, very much like the times we live in. The nation of America is on the verge of collapse. Morally, economically, religiously, in every area, we are on the verge of collapse. Jeremiah's nation, Israel, was in the very same position. But nobody wanted to hear his message because it was a negative message. It was a message that they thought surely couldn't happen. We've been here for 838 years. Nobody's going to root us out of here. We've been a dominant power for ages. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 37. He said this, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall you say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans," that's the Babylonians, "shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying that Babylonians or Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart." Jeremiah had previously stated in Jeremiah 25, he said, "Then this whole land shall be a desolation, an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So he had already told them that they were going to be subservient to the domination of the Babylonian Empire for 70 years. And what happened is the Egyptian armies came up as the Babylonians were starting to gather around the nation to bring them to their knees. The Egyptians brought an army up and the Chaldeans decided to go back home. And so they said, well, look at there. Jeremiah's a liar. The Babylonians aren't going to take us over because the Egyptians scared them off. And he said, no, wait a minute. They're going to come back and they're going to take you into captivity. This is just a precursor. This isn't over with yet. He's coming back. They're coming back and they're going to take into captivity. The essence of the message this morning is everything falls and rises on leadership, as we've said many times from this pulpit. It really does. And yet, the truth remains is that sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, God's people don't listen to good leadership. You ever notice that? You ever notice that people get good advice and they don't take it? You ever notice especially young people get advice if they don't take it? And then when you get real old like me, and you think you know it all, but you haven't really, you don't really know it all, boy, you're all ears when somebody talks to you, because you're old enough to realize that, boy, I better listen to everything it's told me, because this might be the truth. It might be my salvation. And so, unfortunately, we don't always listen to what God tells us, much less good advice. Rush Limbaugh wrote a book many years ago, which I have in my library. It's called See, I Told You So. Did you know that God wrote a book entitled See, I Told You So? Right here. This is God's word. He said, see, I told you so. But you know what? If you read it ahead of time, before you do something and make some kind of decisions, you don't have to say, see, God told me so. You could say, yeah, I saw what he told me, and so I took his advice and missed that pothole. Bob Jones Sr. said, the dust of the centuries blows over the ruins of civilizations that thought they would never die. And the Babylonian Empire, the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, all those empires thought they would never die. But guess what? Sin caught up with them. Josh was bringing out this morning about the revolution of homosexuality. That is just a sign of the times. We are at the end of civilization as we know it, because this isn't just in America; it's worldwide. And so, the question is are we going to listen to good leadership? Something else I've noticed over the years, and that is that those who will not follow a good leader like Jeremiah will always follow a bad leader. Yeah, if you don't follow a good leader, you're going to follow a bad one. You know why? Because God says we're sheep. You ever notice what sheep are like? You know, God didn't say you're like a horse or you're like a cow or you're like a, a giraffe or something like that. He said, the human race is like sheep. If you know anything about sheep, you know they're the most helpless, worthless animals in a way that the world's ever that God ever created. But you know why he did it? Because he created it to show us what we're like. Have you ever noticed that sheep have to have a shepherd? They absolutely have to have a shepherd. Jesus said this, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. If you look at the human race today, you look at people around you, they've got some shepherds, but they're not very good shepherds. Jesus said that the shepherds they have are worthless. So he says they don't really have a shepherd. People today think they're so, especially the younger generation, think they're so unique and, we're going to do our own thing. Did you ever notice that everybody does not their own thing, but what everybody else does? If some stupid guy in Hollywood or some stupid rock star decides to put his own hat on backwards, guess what? Everybody else is going to put their hat on backwards. Did you ever notice that? I hope I didn't offend anybody here by that, but I'm just an illustration of what happens. If they're going to wear their pants off their bottom, then everybody else is going to wear their pants off the bottom. We're our own man, right? No, we follow somebody else. We follow another shepherd. Make sure the shepherd you're following is a good shepherd. Sheep are helpless animals. Jesus also said this, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. When we go to funerals and different things, what's the most favorite psalm that people want to have read? The 23rd Psalm. You know what it's about? It's about a shepherd. Isn't that funny that we as sheep realize we need a shepherd? Even as dumb sheep as we are, we realize we need a shepherd. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Who wrote that? David. He was a shepherd. It's a good illustration of Amanda's testimony this morning. When everybody else fails you, the good shepherd will not. He's always there. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that restores us. He's the one that prepares the table before us, before our enemies. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's a shepherd psalm because we're sheep. We need a good shepherd. But bad people never follow a good shepherd. Some people think, if we just have a good leader, that's all we need is a good leader. A lot of people think the salvation of America is going to be if we can just get the right president in office. If we can just get the right congresspeople in office. Guess what? If you've got bad people, you're not going to get a good person in office. They can't be elected. You're not going to elect somebody a lot better than you are in office. Because they don't make you feel very comfortable. Certainly wouldn't elect me in office. That's for sure. Israel had some good leaders, but they didn't listen to them. Sadly, they didn't listen to the leaders that God gave them. He said this over and over again. He says, "Hereby I send unto you my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn incense unto other gods." Today, if you try to raise a voice against homosexuality or anything like that, you're classified as a bigot, as narrow-minded, as unloving, as uncompassionate, and all these things. And the truth is, God has some ideas out there about how the human race should live. Yeah. And they're good ideas, and they're His laws. And you violate His laws to your own dismay. Listen, Israel wouldn't listen to its prophets, and Jesus' generation wouldn't listen to Him. He couldn't save them from the Romans. Noah couldn't save his generation from the flood. And Abraham couldn't save Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, "If I could just find 10 people in there, would you save it?" And God said, "Yes, I will." He started at 50 and worked all the way down to 10. And of course, he was pretty confident that there'd be 10 people and thought more there'd be so the city could be saved. But he found out it wasn't. There wasn't even 10 people there. By the way, it's interesting that, you know, in archaeology has shown us that almost every city, virtually every city in the Bible, it's mentioned in the Bible, has been found. Did you know that? Some as recently as the last 50, 100 years. They found all these cities, but you know one city they've never found? Not even a trace. Sodom and Gomorrah. God buried that city in ashes and fire. You'll never find a trace of Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, that's how God feels about homosexuality. That was a predominant sin in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a predominant sin of any generation that goes to the bottom. Homosexuality. As Josh said, it's not because we hate homosexuals. It's because it's a sin that debases and destroys the home. And the home is the foundation of our society. Also notice that Jeremiah was really a good leader. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. He loved his God. He loved his people. He said in Jeremiah 9:1, he says, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain daughter of my people. Oh, if my head were waters, I might weep day and night for the slain daughter of my people." He was burdened about his nation because he loved his nation. He didn't want to see it go down in smoke and flames like it was going. He could see that. They couldn't, but he could see it. He was respected by a lot of people because he'd been around 40 years. He had a 40-year ministry that we know of. He was a good leader because he understood the timeline. He said this in Jeremiah 8:7. Turn to Jeremiah 8:7. If you've got your Bibles open, Jeremiah. Read a couple of verses here that are good. He knew the timeline. He understood the timeline. Jeremiah 8:7, he said, "Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people do not know the judgment of the Lord." They don't understand that it's imminent, that we are ready to be destroyed. Turn, look at verse 20 in the same chapter. He said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Listen, there's only a window of opportunity for harvest, and if you miss that window of opportunity, the crop is lost. He said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." We did not bring in the harvest. We've lost it. So Jeremiah understood the timeline, where they were in God's plan. Jeremiah was also a good leader because he was not afraid to preach unpopular messages. Turn to Jeremiah 10:21. As long as you're in Jeremiah 10:21, Jeremiah said, "Your pastors are failing you." He says, "For the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Lord; therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered." What a commentary on the pastors of Jeremiah's day. Turn to chapter 12, verse 10. Chapter 12, verse 10. "Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness." Another scathing commentary on the pastors of his day. Listen, when you choose a church, you're choosing a pastor, or pastors in our case, because you're choosing to follow the leadership, or at least you ought to be, or you should be. If you're not following the leadership, you should go where you can follow the leadership. Because when you're choosing a church, you're not choosing it because you like the pews or the chairs or the stained glass windows, which we don't have, or anything else, or you like the pastor because he's funny, or you like the people because they're friendly. I mean, those are all nice things, but when you choose the church, you're choosing to follow the pastoral leadership of that church, and so you're really choosing to follow a leader. That's why you ought to pray for Josh and I. and Brother Don, leaders in the church, people who have the responsibility of leading you in good paths. That's an awesome responsibility we have to give an account for. Make wise choices. Follow good leadership. Number two, Jeremiah's unpopular message was that Israel should not resist the captivity of the Chaldeans. He made it very clear. He said, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians are going to take over this nation. They're going to put you in captivity, but don't resist. In fact, if you want it to go well with you, you just submit and do what I say and things will go well with you. God will take care of you through this trial. Now imagine that. That's not a very popular message, is it? Hey, we're going to resist. We're going to stand. We're a nation. We've been here for 838 years. There's no way we're going into captivity. Listen, sometimes people pass a point and a nation passes a point of no return. When it's inevitable, you can't get around it. And so he preached this message, chapter 38, verses 2 and 3. He said this, he that remaineth in this city, he said, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Babylonians or Chaldeans shall live. For he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Now that's an unpopular message. That's not a good message. If we were told tomorrow that the Chinese were going to take over America, it was inevitable, and somebody was running up and down the land saying, you know, don't resist them, just, you know, give in here, this is what's going to happen. I don't think there'd be too many people would be supporting that kind of a message. But listen, Jeremiah was speaking for the Lord. And God had said earlier, many, many centuries, in earlier years, he told you, if you don't straighten up, if you don't do what's right, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to make you an object lesson for the entire world. By the way, that's what the Jewish nation has become. An object lesson for the entire world. Most people don't understand that, but that's exactly what's happened. By the way, God's not done with them. We know that. He's going to bring them back. In fact, he's already brought them back into the land, which has never happened before in the history of the world. He's going to redeem them someday. They're going to realize that he was their Messiah. Another thing he told them, he says that judgment was very, very near, very close. The time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord, Jeremiah 8:12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So he told them, clear back in chapter 8, he says, listen, you have lost your blush. You can't even blush anymore. You're so perverted and so far down the road that when you see sin that's blatant and outrageous, you don't even blush anymore. That's kind of where we are, isn't it? I'm serious. This is where we are. We see things today and hear things today that 50 years ago we would have blushed. We don't blush anymore. We've lost our blush. And Israel had lost their blush. Therefore, he said, the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Jeremiah was also a good leader because when somebody is willing to give you an unpopular message, you should give an ear. And he certainly gave an unpopular message. 2 Timothy, I'll read this. Don't turn there. It's for the sake of time. Paul said this to Timothy. And this is, by the way, this is when Paul is on his last, he's in jail for the last time. He's getting ready to offer his head up to the executioner. And he had this, the whole book of 2 Timothy is his last letter before he died. And it was mainly to Timothy because he knew Timothy was going to take the torch from here on out. He was going to be gone. He said this, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, I've always read that and thought, what in the world is that talking about? Itching ears. It's a figure of speech. It means they will want to have people talk to them and tell them what they like to hear. You know, give that right. What was that again? Say that again. You know, somebody's giving you a compliment. What was that again? Say that again. We like that, don't we? Say that again. I like that. I like the way that sounded. And by the way, when you have people that want to hear that, guess what? You got teachers that'll tell them that. You got preachers and teachers that say, "What do you want to hear? Oh, okay, is that what you want to hear? Okay, I'll give it to you. If you give me some money, I'll tell you that." And they'll listen to it and they'll pay the money to listen to it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. You know, I've not gone to very many massage therapists, but I guess they helped my wife a lot at one time in her life when she had some real problems. But when you go to massage therapists, they don't ask you where you'd like to be itched. They find out where you have problems and they go to work on it. It hurts. It hurts a lot. But guess what? When you get up and walk off the table, you feel pretty good. Boy, I feel great. But that hurt. Because they didn't give it to you where you wanted it, they give it to you where you needed it. And you know, that's the problem with most of churches today is they're trying to give people. In fact, they even go out and survey and find out what people want to hear and want to do, and then they give it to them. Find out what the flesh wants and give it to people, and guess what? They want more flesh next time they come back, so you got to up the ante a little bit and give them more flesh. And so pretty soon, there's no difference between the church and the world. That's what we got going on today. Itching ears. Jeremiah wasn't that kind of a leader. However, I have to say this, that Jeremiah paid a huge price for being a good leader. Anybody will be. If you're a man this morning and you have a family, you'll pay a price for being a good leader. If you're part of government today and you want to be a good leader, you'll pay a price. Jeremiah paid a price, a lot of prices. Jeremiah 37, it says this, "Wherefore the princes were wroth, were mad with Jeremiah, and smote him, and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days." Now, in this period of time, when they had a prison, it wasn't the kind of prison you think of today. A lot of people get institutionalized in prisons, and it's home to them. They can't exist out of there because it's not too bad. And TV and exercise rooms and friends and so forth. And they got a room. They got food and clothing. Don't have to worry about earning a living anymore. In the prisons in the Old Testament, it was just a hole in the ground. Just threw you in a hole in the ground. So deep you couldn't get out. That was prison. And if it was dirty and there's no facilities or anything, you just in a hole. And that's where they threw Jeremiah. That's what they thought of him. Not once or twice, but several times they threw him in a hole. It says in chapter 38, verse 6, "And they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malachi and the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire." What an ugly situation, isn't it? What a way to treat the man of God. But he was willing to pay that price to give people the truth. I've heard a lot of stories about Russian churches. I read this recently and I thought it was good. It's not original with me, but this is actually a true story. One of many in the underground church in Russia years ago, probably even today, they still have the underground church in Russia in a lot of ways. This little group, a home church, had this home church, and they got a copy of the book of Luke. They got one copy of the book of Luke. So they decided that what they'd do is they'd cut that book up into several sections. And then they'd give it out to the people. And that week, they'd spend all week and memorize that section. And then they got back to the next meeting next week. They'd hand the piece of the book of Luke to the next person. And they would memorize it and so forth. So they could all have a copy in their mind of God's Word. They only had the book of Luke. So they did that the first week, and they got ready for the next meeting the next week, and they began to filter into the house church. In Russia, you don't do that. You don't all just drive up and walk in the church. You come in little groups so that the authorities don't catch on. Little group came this time. Later, another group came. Another group. And finally, in the evening, everybody was there. So they shut the doors, windows and everything, and begin to sing softly a hymn or so, and then they had their teaching and so forth. Well, in the middle of that, all of a sudden the door is busted open. Here comes these two Russian soldiers in. They said, "All right, get your hands on the wall and be quiet." And so they got their hands on the wall, and he said, "Now listen, if you want to get out of here now, you can. If you want to denounce your faith and get out of here, you can. Go ahead." And so a little later on, he waited for a while, and he said, and some of them left, of course. And then pretty soon a couple more left, and then pretty a couple more left, slipped out in the darkness. And finally, when nobody else was going to leave, he said, "All right," he says, "keep your hands in the air, your feet against the wall, and raise your hands to Jesus Christ and sing praises to Him." He said, we're Christians too. And the other soldier explained, he says, "You know," he says, "we just raided a house church last week, and we got converted in the process. And we just wanted to make sure that everybody that was here was for real, because we've learned that we can only trust those who are willing to put their life on the line." That's a true story. I've heard other stories similar to that, but that's kind of a different story, a little different slant. But that happens in Russia. That's happened in Russia and probably China and different places of the world where they have these underground churches. They put their life on the line if they're going to be called a Christian. And that's exactly what Jeremiah was willing to do. He put his life on the line. He was a good leader. Guess what? Those who follow good leaders are protected. Those who follow good leaders are protected. There's a wonderful story in this chapter, in this book. I'm not going to go into it in great detail, just to mention that the name of the man is Ebed-Melech. He's an Ethiopian. He wasn't even a Jew, an Israelite. And he, one of the times in which Jeremiah was in the dungeon, he put up a big fuss. He went to the king and said, "Listen, you realize the man of God, Jeremiah, is sitting in this dungeon? You can't put up with, you can't do this." And though Zedekiah was not a God-fearing king, just very much, he realized that Jeremiah was a man of God, and maybe he ought to get him out of that dungeon because God Almighty might judge him if he doesn't. And so he listened to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, and they finally pulled Jeremiah out of the dungeon. And guess what? Jeremiah told him, he says, "Listen, your life is going to be protected. You don't have to worry about this captivity. God's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you because you were concerned about God's prophet." That's in chapter 37 and 39. You can read it yourself later. Jeremiah was also protected from the heathen kings and those who did not want to hear his message. And Jeremiah, we'll have you turn to Jeremiah 39, starting at verse 8. Jeremiah 39, verse 8. Does it pay to serve God? Listen, some people are martyred for the faith. Can't get around that. But God took special care of Jeremiah because of his unusual devotion to the Lord. In Jeremiah 39, starting with verse 8, it says, "And the Chaldeans or Babylonians burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Zeradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left the poor of the people which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time." In other words, they took the cream of the crop out of Israel. All the men who were skilled and important and very intelligent, they thought, "Well, we can use these people." So they left the poor and the maimed and so forth in the land. And then verse 11 it says, "Now Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying this," verse 12, "Take him and look well to him and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." He pretty much gave Jeremiah free rein. Why? Because he realized that Jeremiah was a man of God, and he had tried to help his people by telling the truth. He tried to make them cooperate with what was going to happen, because Nebuchadnezzar realized he was a servant of the Lord in God's hand, doing what God said to do, and that was to take Israel into captivity. I said all that to say this: God protects those who serve Him, and He takes special regard for people who do what's right. By the way, I think it also adds to your age. I think you live longer and do better if you serve the Lord. You think so? That's one reason I serve the Lord. I'll just be honest with you. Out of selfishness, I want to live longer. I want to be more healthy. So I serve the Lord. It knocks a lot of junk out of your life. You don't need it. You don't have time for this kind of junk because you're too busy doing what needs to be done. But at any rate, God's made special provision for Jeremiah to take care of him because he did what was right. He warned the people and tried to help them, help their preservation. A home with good parents or good leaders is an umbrella of protection. A government with good leaders is an umbrella of protection. Why do we have a government? Basically to protect us from enemies without. There's people who want to destroy this country. There's people who want to destroy your home. And by the way, the church with good leaders is a place of protection also. Do you know that? People who don't go to church say, well, we just have church in the house, or we go out in the woods and worship. Well, that's all right. You can worship God better in the woods than you can here, because you don't come here just to worship. You come here to hear the Word of God. You come here to get counsel, to hear things that are going to help you, motivate you, warn you. And when you read the Bible, you get the same thing. But there's something about rubbing shoulders with God's people and hearing the Word of God that sharpens your perspective, that causes you to realize, boy, I got to do better. I was wrong, though. I got to knock that stuff off. I don't have time for that stuff. There's too many good things that need to be done. So, home, church, government, all places of protection if you have good leadership. But you got to listen to the leadership. If you got good leadership, you got to listen. Israel didn't. I've also noticed that those who follow a bad leader will pay a great price. Israel paid a huge price for the rejection of Jeremiah's counsel and preaching. They paid a huge price, and they're still paying it today. Israel is paying a huge price even today for their obstinacy, their hard-hearted, their stiff-necked rebellion against God. They're paying a price today. No nation has paid a greater price than Israel, because no nation has had greater light than Israel. Too much is given, much is required. By the way, America is going to pay a great price, because we have been given a lot. I liked what the missionaries said. It was so refreshing to hear those missionaries from Philippines and saying thank you, from Korea saying thank you for sending not soldiers but missionaries to our land. We wouldn't be here today without. Now listen, we need the soldiers too. We help them with soldiers. But listen, they were so thankful, most of all thankful, the missionaries, we said. We gave them God's word. We gave them light. Israel paid a great price because they wouldn't listen. They were sent great light, but they rejected it. They got the government that they deserved. Now, I want you to turn over to Lamentations, one of the saddest books in the entire Bible. This is kind of like a footnote, the big footnote of the book of Jeremiah. And as I read down through these verses, I want you to just think about this. This could be your home. This could be your country. This could be your church. If we don't listen to God's message and God's messenger, listen to these sad words. How doth the city sit in... By the way, this is right after Jeremiah. The next book is Lamentations. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces, how has she become a tributary, a slave to these other nations? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her, and all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction, because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. Now keep in mind here, they're in captivity now when he's writing this. They're already in captivity. Verse 4, the ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her. Who hath afflicted her? The Lord hath afflicted her for her multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that find no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Listen, where will America be 30 years from now? This could be us. And it will be us unless we change course. This could be the churches of America. And it's fast becoming that because we don't listening to God's leadership, God's message. Just going to make a quick application here. There are many voices out in the world today, right? I mean, they hit you from every angle. There's voices out there. Which voices are you listening to? Which voices am I listening to? It's funny, you know, people watch a lot of television. They can tell you every commercial on TV. And some of them are kind of funny. But what good are they? I mean, in reality, that's just a voice. It's a voice. There's voices out there, of course, that are telling you that all kinds of things. We just got an illustration of that this morning. Homosexuality is good. Not only is it right, not only is it okay, but it's healthy to support it. And if you don't support it, you're something wrong with you. That's a voice. Is it right? No. What is God telling you right now? What has God been telling you this past week? Do you have the character and the courage to believe Him and trust Him and do what He says? Or are you just going to kind of push it aside and move on down the road because that would be a little inconvenient to do that or to say that or be involved in that? All I'm simply saying is that we are hearing voices every single day and we have to make sure that we listen to what God tells us. It really pays to listen to God. It really does. And most of the things I've learned in life, unfortunately, have been the hard way. But you don't have to learn the hard way. You can learn the easy way. Just listen to God. Just listen to Him. He's right every time. He's right on. And this morning I want to ask you this. So is Christ your shepherd? Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. He gave His life. He gave everything for us. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for good people because He couldn't find any. He died for bad people, for ugly people, for people that didn't know where they were going, didn't know the right hand from the left hand. He died for those people. And guess what? If you're not following Christ, you know who you're following? You're following a hireling. What's a hireling? That's a shepherd that somebody hires to watch the sheep. They're not really his sheep, but he's just been hired to watch them, you know. And if a wolf comes along or something like that, I'm not going to stick around here. This is too dangerous. I'm out of here. The sheep are on their own. Jesus said, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. I've told this before, but it's been a long time, so I'll tell it again. Many, many years ago, when I was in my early 20s, I lived in back of Micah Peak. And I guess I was so far up in the sticks there that there were actually sheep herders that came in the area and had flocks of sheep. And I woke up one morning, and there was a big flock of sheep out there. And I thought, where in the world these sheep come from? And there was a guy pulled up a trailer there, and he stayed in the trailer, and he was feeding off that area for a long time. And one day I went out to, I don't know how we got in a conversation, and he says, I want to show you something. So we walked out in the field a ways, and he showed me two or three sheep. All their throats were slit. The coyotes that had them. The dogs didn't ward them off. And the coyotes got them and just slit their throat and left them there on the ground. Dead. That's a picture. That's a picture of a lot of humanity. They won't follow Jesus, so they got a hireling. And when the danger comes and when the hireling's done with them, he takes off. And guess who has Adam? The devil. And he is treacherous and unsparing and unmerciful. Unfortunately, that's where a lot of people end up, because if you don't listen to God, you're going to listen to some other voices. May God help us. Listen. Listen to God. If you know, I wish I could take some people and just shake them up against the wall and say, listen to God. Really? You know, but it's usually too late. Why don't you just listen to God? Don't do that. Listen to God. Just believe Him. He knows what's best. He loves you. Cares for you. He loves me. I'm not just preaching to you guys. I'm preaching to myself. I told you, I've made all the mistakes in the world. I've already made them. So if you're ready to make a mistake, come and ask me, and I'll tell you what the result of making the mistake is before you do it. You don't have to do it. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this morning for your Bible, for the Word of God that is so clear in so many areas. And yet, Father, there's so many voices out there. It's easy to get sidetracked and to listen to voices that will not take us in good places, will not feed us like we need to be fed, will not satisfy us like we need to be satisfied, will not watch and protect us like we need to be protected. Help us to stay close to you, Lord, by staying in your Word, believing what you say, believing what your leaders say, and what your pastors say, and what the prophets of God have said down through the ages. Help us to be believers and obey the Word that you've given us. Thank you for the light of the Word of God. Now help us in the days to come to do right. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.